You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
He is our portion. And this summer, we've been working our way through this series on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, last week, again, we took a little pause because missionary Gary was here, and he reminded us that we're not normal. We're not meant to look like all the world around us, but we're all missionaries. Missionaries entrusted to reflect the light of Jesus into our communities, into the darkness, because there are people who live in darkness, who need to see and know the light of Jesus. But today, as we step back into the Sermon on the Mount, I want to take a moment and remind us of where we've been, because it's really important that we remember that this is one sermon that Jesus preaches. It's not a few verses here and a few verses here and a few verses here that are all kind of separated, but it's one sermon. And so what Jesus says at the beginning impacts what he's saying in the middle. And Jesus started by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." All right, blessed are those who know that they have nothing that they can offer to God that would save them. Nothing that they can do that would earn them salvation, but they simply receive. Right? They receive the kingdom from Jesus. And then Jesus continues saying, what did it there? I feel like we went, there you go. Jesus continues by saying, "You are the light of the world, and to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Right? Jesus says that we are called to do good works. Right? I know that sounds scary to some of us Lutherans, but we are called to do good works. But as we do those good works, the point is that we would not get the glory, but that our Father in heaven would get the glory, that our good works would point people to God. And then Jesus says, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? For the scribes and Pharisees, for many of them, the law became this checklist that as long as I do all the things that I'm supposed to do and don't do the things that I'm not supposed to do, then I'm good. I'm good enough for God. But Jesus is teaching that the law is not a checklist. It's not just a do these things and don't do these things and then you're good. But the law is the perfect will of God. That this is the best way to live. This is the way to live according to righteousness. It shows us what a life shaped by the Father actually looks like. And then Jesus continues into our text today where he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." Which again, this is why it's important that we read the whole sermon and not just parts of it, because if you remember a few verses earlier, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." And now he's saying, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." So which is it? And is Jesus contradicting himself? In one breath, is he saying, "Do good works so that people would see you?" And in another breath, is he saying, don't do good works because people might see you? What's he saying? Well, if you notice, the difference is after or why we're doing good works or what is seen. Is it me that gets seen? Am I practicing righteousness so that I might be seen by others? Or am I letting my light shine so that God might receive the glory? Where do our works point? Right? Do they point to me or do they point to the Father? And then to help the people around him, the disciples and the crowds, understand what he's talking about, Jesus gives three examples. First, he talks about giving, and he says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And then Jesus talks about praying, where he says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites who just heap up all these words and make sure that everybody hears them. And then Jesus talks about fasting when he says, when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites. And so there's a lot in this text, right? I read it the whole thing a little bit ago from Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18. But if you heard that, if you're paying attention, you might be wondering, well, what's Pastor Gerber going to preach on today? What's he gonna preach about? I did hear at the very beginning of the service, before he showed the video, that this is the last Sunday in the fiscal year, and this text talks about giving. So is Pastor Gerber gonna do a sermon on giving? Because if I would have known that, I probably wouldn't have shown up today. Darn it. Or the middle of the text is the longest section, and it's about prayer, and it's got the Lord's Prayer in there. So maybe Pastor Gerber's going to spend his time on that bigger section and going to talk about prayer. Or maybe fasting, that's at the end. We don't talk about fasting very much, and so maybe this is an opportunity for Pastor Gerber to teach on fasting. Or maybe Pastor Gerber's going to preach on all three. And it's already warm in here, and I know it's getting warmer outside, and there's communion up here. Oh, this is going to be a long service, isn't it? Oh, now I really wish I didn't show up today. What I want you to notice today is the pattern that Jesus gives to us in this text. Because he says, when people give in order to be noticed, they have received their reward. And then he says, when people pray in order to be noticed, they have received their reward. Now, if you were really paying attention, the slide just changed there. But the only thing that changed was the number 2 to the number 5. And then Jesus says, when people fast in order to be noticed, they have received their reward. That one was a little obvious change because the number 16 is a little bigger, so it pushed the words over a little bit. But 3 times, Jesus says the exact same thing. When you give in order to be seen, when you pray in order to be seen, when you fast in order to be seen, or when the Pharisees were doing these things, they have already received their reward, which I always thought was weird because at the very beginning, Jesus says, don't be like them because they have no reward from their Father in heaven. So why do they get a reward? That's not fair. I want a reward. Well, what reward are they getting? They're getting exactly what they want, that they may be seen by others. Their reward is they got noticed. Their reward is maybe people think, oh, look at that person. They gave a lot. That's a good person. Or look at that person. They pray with really big words. That must be a really godly person. Or that person fasts. They still do that? Well, they must be really godly. That's their reward, is that they are seen by others, which is a reward. But it's not much of a reward. It's not a reward that lasts very long. It's not a reward that carries you very, very far. It's not a reward that offers forgiveness. It's not a reward that saves you. It's not a reward that can hold life together when everything seems like it's falling apart. So it is a reward that they receive, but it's an incredibly small reward. And so Jesus continues teaching. He says, when you give, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray in secret, pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father, same phrase 3 times, who sees in secret will reward you. Maybe you caught it. Right? When you give, Jesus points you to the reward of your Father. When you pray, Jesus points you to the reward of your Father. When you fast, Jesus points you to the reward of your Father, which then brings up the next question, what's the reward? What's the reward that I get for giving in secret, or for praying in secret, or for fasting in secret? And this is where it might be easy to start listing off a bunch of things. Well, maybe the reward for giving is that God will bless me and give me more. Or maybe my reward for praying is that all of my prayers will be answered exactly the way that I want them to be answered. Or maybe my reward for fasting is that I become this person who is much more disciplined or more spiritual. And suddenly we're listing off all of these gifts that, if you noticed, were all about me. Things that God gives me. Things that God does for me. And God does give really, really good gifts. God does do great things for us, but Jesus is promising something even greater than those gifts. Jesus is pointing us to our Father Himself. Jesus says that your reward is your Father. Now, let me say that again. Your reward is your Father. And now maybe you hear that and you say, that's it? The Father, that's my reward? And honestly, that was my first reaction too. That's it? But I'm not the first person to ask that question. And you wouldn't be the first people to ask that question either. Adam and Eve had their Father. They had His provision. They had His protection. They had His presence. They had everything that they needed. But they wanted more. They didn't just want to be with the Father. They wanted to be like the Father. They wanted more. Israel had their Father. He had led them out of slavery. He had fed them. He had gone before them. He made them into a great nation. He had taken them into the promised land that had all that they could need. But they wanted more. They wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted a king like the other nations. They wanted the gods that the other nations had. They wanted more. It might be easy to hear these words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and think that our greatest problem is that we chase the praise of this world, and that just as long as we do these things in a way that doesn't chase the praise of the world, then we'd be fine. But Jesus is actually exposing something even deeper. We want more. We don't trust the Father to be enough. We think that His gifts are better than He is. We want what He gives more than we want Him. We want the food and the clothing. We want the answer. We want the blessing. We want the comfort. We want the healing. We want all of our problems to be fixed. We want the gifts more than the one who gives the gift. But here in this sermon, Jesus keeps recentering us. And over He says, your Father, your Father, your Father. And so your reward is your Father Himself. And again throughout history, when God's people said, that's it, God answers by giving Him His presence. To Adam and Eve, He promised a Savior where He said that the offspring, Eve, the offspring of the woman, Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, will come to crush the serpent's head. That you'll have a Savior. To Israel, He said, but I will be with you. To Joshua, He said, I will be, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. To His disciples, He said, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Again and again, God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so the Father isn't simply the one who gives out all of the gifts, but the Father is the reward. But also, that doesn't mean that his gifts don't matter, right? You have a God who loves giving you good gifts. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him, but he still calls us to pray and say, give us this day our daily bread. And so he does that, right? He gives us food. He gives us clothing. He gives us shelter. He hears your prayer. He sees what no one else sees. He knows what no one else knows. And he gives you what you need for this body and life. But if all he gave us were bread, we'd still die. And so the Father gives us something greater. The Father gives us himself. He gives us his Son. He gives us the bread of life, who gives us his body and his blood broken and shed for us for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Right? He gives us himself. And the Father also gives us clothing. Right? Clothing that covers our bodies, but if all he gave us was clothing that covered our bodies, we'd still die. And so he gives us something greater. And he gives us his Son, the one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, the great high priest who goes before us, who gives us his righteousness. Right? He clothes us in the robe of righteousness that doesn't just cover our bodies, but it covers all of our sins. The Father gives us himself. The Father sees you. The Father hears you. The Father knows you. The Father welcomes you into his kingdom. Your reward is your Father. Now again, when we first hear that, maybe we ask, that's it? But now we see it, right? The Father himself, his presence, his kingdom, his Son, his altar, his table, his forgiveness, his promise to be with you now and always to the very end of the age. Everything that you have ever needed is found in your Father. So the response then goes from that's it to that's it, right? That's everything. That's everything that we could ever need is the Father. And so we give. We can give. We should give. We're expected to give. We can pray. We should pray. We're expected to pray. We can fast. We should fast. We're expected to fast when you give, when you pray, when you fast. But when we do these things, we do them not to earn something from the Father. We do them not to earn the praises of the world, but we also do them not to earn certain gifts from the Father. But instead, we do them because he's already given us everything. He's given us himself. Your reward is your Father. That's it, right? That's everything. Amen.